This is all alleged. They would be like sweaty and paranoid and all just like zooming around the office being fucking weird, like yelling at people.
Sorry, Gustafur. We really need to find a new home
for
you, sir.
We'll figure this out. Well, don't worry, Gustafur. You'll be finding a new soon. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. A new home.
My a new God. Home.
I know.
What
I look like
there?
I look like what's his name on Great British Bake Off, who fell out of his chair. This season is so good so far.
Dylan.
The cast.
Yeah.
The cast.
The cast.
The
bakers.
The bakers are so good. I love Great British Bake Off. I forgot how much I love that show.
I know. I'm glad that we waited to watch it until it's cold outside.
I know. It doesn't feel like a warm show. Well, I hate waiting too when the episodes come out weekly. Yeah, I just feel like watching Bake Off when it's cold is just the way to go.
I mean,
it just feels like a cozy show.
It's a winter show. It's a Christmas show is what it is.
It feels like
Christmas to me.
I don't care that it's not during Christmas for them when they film it. It's like...
It's Christmas for us.
Yeah, because we've had this discussion too. Like, I feel like Harry Potter is kind of a Christmassy...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what? Harry Potter. Don't yell at me.
In a weird way, like Lord of the Rings is.
Yes.
Not Christmas related. Not Christmas related. They all released, though, around my birthday every year. I'll let everyone know that. So maybe that's probably why I associate that with my birthday and Christmas time.
I think it's also that if we have time to sit and watch something long form like The Lord of the Rings or like a whole TV show like that that's not for the channel, it's because it's the holiday time. We have free time.
How do we have free time though? Because nothing changes. I guess I'm off work a little bit more.
Yeah, you're off work more, and then we usually try to like prep stuff a little bit more efficiently because you're off work more, so that we can have free time.
That's true. That's why. Except I was like, why do we play games when it's cold outside?
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, because we're not going outside, but also we don't go outside
holidays.
When it's hot either.
Mm-hmm.
Hi everyone, welcome to the pod.
Hi, this is We Should Unpack This.
And there's a lot to unpack.
I'm Mickey, and that's Aaron.
I'm Aaron. We will actually only be a couple days away from you guys when you're watching this. So hello from just the recent past.
Normally we're like a week behind.
But not this time.
Not this time.
If this is who I think it is.
Answer it.
Hello. Hey, this is him.
Okay, so I guess question then. What's course of action then? I didn't know that was. As we were talking, I'm learning about this right now with you as well.
We were in a better mood half an hour ago.
We had early part of a podcast filmed, and we are not going to keep it because Aaron got a very disappointing phone call.
As one does in the middle of the day after you've waited a month.
After you've waited a month for them to call and they just can't be reached. Leaves early, comes in late, can't answer their phone calls. Answered them today.
If I'm mean this episode or I say anything out of pocket, I probably stand by it. But also, too, like, I just had bad fucking news. So,
yeah.
To be honest, if I'm snippy or pissy or whatever, I'm just going to own it. I'm a human, just like the rest of you motherfuckers. So, like, we can all be in it together.
You're a person and you're allowed to be in a bad mood.
So,
and also crawl off my husband and leave him alone. He's having a hard time.
Yeah, definitely eat the rich. Fuck them.
Yeah.
News outlets will do everything in their power to keep us distracted and to remind us that the thing we should be worried about is rich versus poor.
Yeah.
But they will always keep us distracted.
We're going to talk about that in the main channel video.
I'm not glad someone died. But I'm just saying, like, if you're sitting here fucking disapproving people's medical.
Yeah.
And, like, probably, that dude was probably responsible for
the
thousands
deaths.
Of deaths.
Yeah, if not millions.
If not more.
UHC's denial rate was 32%, which is double the next closest one, I think.
Sorry. I'm sure his family and, the first payment they put out or the first for, like, information they had on the shooter was, like, 10 grand. And someone was like, that's not even, like, a percentage of his fucking weekly paychecks.
Not even close.
So, like, sorry for his family.
Get fucked.
But, you know, otherwise, it was nice to see the internet actually be on the same page for once.
I know. Even in like Ben Shapiro's comment section, people were like, this is a bad take, man.
Because also, too, most dumb motherfuckers are, they just, if you could just, it's the thing we talk about all the time where like we actually all the poor of us, the peasants, all actually have a lot of similar ideas. Yes. It's just the way we fucking get there. And then for some reason, someone's like, oh, it's black people's fault. Oh, it's trans people's fault.
Well, yeah.
And that's where we get fucking, that's where you motherfuckers.
Misinformation and disinformation that co-opt
and because stupid people are easily scared.
Racism and biases to be ignorant. And bigotry.
It must be so nice.
So, yeah. We're
this is in, there's a lot to we should unpack this.
Yeah, this is definitely we should unpack this.
Yeah.
I'm Mickey and that's Aaron.
I'm Aaron.
We're having a day. Everybody say something nice to Aaron.
At least I have lessons in a little bit.
That's
so
true. You need to
nice.
Go be creative and artistic.
Can we go look at guitars today? That'll make me feel better.
I did tell you there was a thing.
I
was
going
to make a bet
with
you, and then I decided not to because I was trying not to be a dick.
I almost won that bet, too.
I know. You really
Mickey
did.
Mickey was like, oh, we'll go look at guitars instead, and I was like, no fucking way.
I know. Honestly, I'm about to be like, fuck it.
I don't.
You said that on the last pod. Fuck them. You know?
I think from Pokemon cards to Yu-Gi-Oh cards to Magic the Gathering to Legos and stuff, I just like collecting things.
Yes.
I'm like a crow, but for expensive things.
Yes.
I love collecting expensive
things.
And
I like collecting cheap things.
Yeah, thank God we don't have the same fucking taste in collecting.
I want buttons.
You are a crow. You are actually a crow.
I want little shiny things and little trinkets and boxes for my trinkets. But you like expensive things. And honestly, God love them.
God love them.
They're good things. They're fun things.
Speaking of fun things, we should have brought your Lisa Frank. We should have brought your Lisa
Mirala,
Frank.
You gotta.
It's fine. I don't care. It's fine.
Okay, well, you will when you edit it.
I won't. Aaron, you don't care.
We're talking about Lisa Frank today because we watched the documentary Glitter and Greed on Amazon Plus Prime.
So good. So
whatever.
Good.
Fuck Amazon, but god damn it, do they make a good docuseries.
Fuck you guys. Stop giving me so many goddamn ads.
My god.
Like, fuck you guys.
It's very dystopian.
Also, too, it's like literally the thing where, like, I can so see it now that I'm going to have to fucking tap to pay my goddamn microwave in the future. Don't get any ideas. Actually, if you're rich and you're watching this, just fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Get out of here. We don't want you here.
I can see it now. We're like, oh, would you like to run your oven for an hour at this temperature?
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, the broil option is going to be an extra 25-cent charge.
Or you can watch an ad and we'll track your pupils so that you are actually watching the ad and then you can get 30 minutes for free.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
that's
kind of
the Amazon ads when you pause. If you haven't like noticed or if you don't use Amazon Prime, what happens is that when you're watching a show, if you pause it, as normal people do, it will pull up an ad instead of pulling up like the pause button and like the little progress
little
bar.
Yeah,
and all this stuff. It pulls up this little like semi-transparent overlay where it has like an ad for an insurance company or worse, it's an ad for a product.
It
will say add to cart. There's a button that you can click to add it to your Amazon cart and then go purchase it later. Is that not the creepiest thing?
I hate it. I also like,
I will
never like Liberty Mutual, fuck off.
Oh my.
If I see an ad on Amazon, I'm immediately, not even that I was in the market for insurance anyways, I will not.
Fuck them.
I will not.
Really, this is the We Hate Insurance Companies episode,
God damn,
I think.
I fucking do.
Yeah.
Yeah, the private healthcare is like a $4.4 trillion.
It's a scam.
Dollar business.
Scam.
We're
fuck them.
Just
fuck them.
Just treating us like livestock.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they have the audacity to be upset at us when we don't appreciate the sanctity of their lives.
Also, that fucking, anesthesia,
they weren't
going to cover anesthesia.
Yeah.
In
case you didn't hear.
Or if you needed more, go on.
Yeah, the news headlines were that, I know Blue Cross Blue Shield, got in on it. I'm not sure who the first insurance company was to propose this brilliant fucking idea, but they essentially said, we are going to cover through insurance the cost of you going under general anesthesia for the estimated time that your surgeon provides us with.
Yes.
And that's it. So if your surgeon, if there's complications or if your surgeon
goes
is just
long,
like, you know,
slow,
taking their time and being mindful. Well, also too,
that's
like,
fair, honestly,
I don't
want
someone rushing
actually,
my surgery,
I don't want them rushing. You're so
take
right.
Your
so
time.
Right.
Be
truly.
Long. Take your time
Be
and
long.
Take a long time.
Stay a
so
while.
If they go over that time though, then you as the patient are responsible for the full cost of that anesthesia. Your insurance will not pay for it. This is not real anymore. Blue Cross Blue Shield for sure walked it back mysteriously
crazy
after the news I'm sure those things were unrelated, but it seems as though no insurance companies are going to move forward with that proposed policy. But still, the fact that we're talking about it is like really a problem, in my opinion.
And I am mad and I'm in a horrible mood now.
Yeah.
But I do say this, and I hope they are scared to leave their fucking houses. Because also, I think I have 2 points, but whatever, it doesn't matter. One, they were having their fucking earnings call.
Yeah.
For the thing, which is what he was going to. So fucking smugly.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's walking. I just quote
he's probably office, smug. Probably smug.
Also, two, we didn't need to have this in person. We very much could have been an email or a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. Three, it's just to keep the fucking inflated price of fucking real estate.
Yes.
Like we didn't need to be in the office. This is, I can definitely see them being like, oh, everyone needs to return to the office.
Yeah.
For fuck all reason.
Yeah. For no reason at all.
So.
But also the thing that I love, I think they still had the earnings meeting without him. Didn't they?
You got to make a buck.
That man got gunned down in the street and they said.
I love
so about these earnings, which honestly, like if that is not the motivation that we all need to say, fuck this job, not to quit. I'm not telling everybody to quit en masse if you can't afford that. Don't do dangerous things for your family and your livelihood, but don't structure your life around your job, because even the fucking CEO got killed in the street and they said anyways. And so like surely for all of us like lowly peasant workers, like they don't give a damn.
Not a fuck.
They don't give a goddamn about any single one of us. We could disappear tomorrow and they will fill that position without a second thought. Like some of your coworkers might be sad because they're humans and they care about you, but the larger powers that be don't care, and they quite frankly only continue to make a buck because we continue to show up to work.
And I think
that in mind.
We do not condone violence.
No, but also, not. We're not condoning or encouraging violence.
You know, also when stuff like that happens, though, I'm like, that's actually like the foundation of America. Like, that's actually the foundational principles of America is violence, actually. So, which is why we're so okay with violence and not nudity and other sexual things.
Yes, thanks to the Puritans.
But, so, like, that's actually, like, that's ingrained in us. So, like, when I see that, I'm like, good job for exercising your rights.
Second Amendment
right there.
No, we're just kidding. We're being sarcastic. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. I kind of lost it anyways, so it's fine.
One of the things that I saw this week that I think is just important to meditate on is the...
Are you meditating again?
No, not, you know what I mean? Like
to ruminate.
Yeah. To sort of sit with, is that those who make a peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And like, looky there. I'm just saying, again, I'm not encouraging violence and I'm not saying that that's what we should be doing. But I do think that when people in power refuse to acknowledge or take seriously
the
reasonable and like I think important asks of like the majority, who again, like we have the power, because like COVID was a great example that when necessary workers stopped going to work, like look what happened. The country shut down, you know, like
how that works.
It's very important that we remember that, but they are really happy to profit off of our inability to unseat those people and like fuck those people. I think it was just nice to see the internet share a moment of solidarity in
For being once.
You know what? Yeah. Like I don't think I'm on the same page.
I don't think I've seen the internet like every comment section I went to, regardless of whatever. I was like, is this really happening? Like, is everyone on the same page everywhere?
I'm like, are these
everyone's
bots
on the same page?
It seemed like it
was
real. I
know, the bots were on the same page.
I know.
Yeah. I always wonder how many people like really are on the internet.
I know. I wonder that too. I feel like there's some.
I think there's a couple
left
of us on the internet.
There's dozens
there's
of us.
There's a couple of us, right?
There's at least 777 of us.
I think, again, too, just to clarify, don't condone violence. We're not telling anyone to do anything violent.
Condoning or encouraging violence.
But also, like, you know.
I feel justified in my apathy about it, though.
Oh, God, I feel so apathetic about it, and it felt so good.
For a minute, it did. Okay, so speaking of greed and... Oh,
she's the worst. Oh. She's actually, well, she doesn't sound like she leaves her house very much. If I saw her, though,
no.
I might tell her, I might say, fuck you, honestly.
That's fair.
I feel like I really would tell Lisa Frank to fuck off.
Especially, like, normally I would be like, don't do that. But I know for a fact that that woman is a Karen and has probably
absolutely screamed. Yeah.
Out of her mind at like anyone who will listen, but especially like retail workers, service workers, food service folks, like, and probably tipped like 50 cents, tipped like the loose change and
5-year-old
mint that's at the bottom of her fucking Technicolor purse. Like
Lisa Frank is the OG Karen.
Certain that
Karen.
She's a bitch.
She is the OG Karen.
Yeah.
Fucking stealing and appropriating fucking people's art.
Yes.
And then fucking churning and burning that thing.
Yes. Okay, so brief synopsis for those of you who can't or won't watch the docuseries. I would assume it's most really of y'all remember Lisa Frank. She was the artist behind the,
She was the person.
Well, she was an artist.
She was an artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just not a very...
She just didn't make very
much
art.
Not a particularly poignant or interesting one, mm-hmm. Nor was she a very active one after she started the company. But she was the woman who was responsible for all of the super brightly colored and, like, fantastical... stationery and folders and stickers and like all the things that we took with us to school, trapper keepers and all those things. If you were a child of the 90s, you definitely remember who Lisa Frank was. And that company sort of just like disappeared. Like they just kind of like
stopped making
product. And it was kind of a thing that like, you know, we didn't really think about it because we were growing up and probably going to leave Lisa Frank products behind anyways. But
just all of a sudden,
you know,
it was gone.
Yeah. So like looking back, it was kind of a mystery to some people of like, what happened to this company, you know? So journalists and other folks looked into it only to discover that actually the conditions under which artists and employees and just, you know, like factory workers and finance people, whoever at the Lisa Frank factory.
The Rainbow Gulag.
The original article on...
Jezebel, right?
I think it's Jezebel. Was called Inside the Rainbow Gulag because the conditions at the factory were absolutely horrifying. Like truly a horror movie, just so bad.
It was incredible to hear the stories from the artists. I'm so glad they focused on that. I felt like that was really nice. Honestly.
Yeah, if you're able to watch it or find a friend who has access to it or whatever, the interviews with the actual artists who worked with Lisa Frank and John Green, that was her husband, we'll talk about that in a second, the stories that they told and the perspective that they had, I was really relieved that they centered those.
Same, me too. Also, everyone was so well-spoken.
Yeah.
Rhonda definitely was banging James. Rhonda and James allegedly... Allegedly. I have nothing. Let me tell you this right now, lawyers. I have no facts. I have nothing. It is my opinion. And it is vibes. It is not based in reality.
Simply relaying to you alleged information that we have seen from a docuseries and sharing our own opinion about those alleged statements.
So if you have any fucking problems, take it up with someone else.
Yeah, leave us alone. We're little and poor.
Those are exactly the people. Don't say that. Lisa Frank will come and fucking
steal our stuff.
Steal everything. She would probably love this wall.
Probably, actually, and then steal it and then market it. Yeah, yeah, and then accuse me of copyright.
Single-handedly stealing the idea of a gallery wall.
Stealing her stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, Lisa Frank.
We have a lot of color on the wall, so we are actually, like, primary suspect.
We're primary targets. Lisa Frank started this company because she grew up in the like rich white people suburbs of Detroit, or somewhere in Michigan, I think, and went to school at the U of A here in Tucson. and started a small business by buying artwork from Native American artists here in Tucson. And then when she would go home for holidays or whatever, she would sell it
fucking cocoa
as like a isn't this so exotic to all of her white rich friends. So that was initially how she started to make money.
Makes me
being an artist. And then she started some of her early designs also. They didn't touch on this in the docuseries, but word on the street is allegedly that she also got a start in illustration and whatever by using designs like Betty Boop and other things that she didn't create.
Wow, why does that not surprise me?
To make stickers and I don't know, whatever the fuck, products that she would allegedly sell. And that was another way that she sort of started to get together some seed money.
Too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. She had a business that was called Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers.
Which feels weirdly appropriate.
So apropos.
Yeah. Wow. Really, really loud, Lisa.
Ain't that the truth?
So that sort of, you know, rolled downhill or failed upwards, I suppose, as rich white people do, into the business that we all know as Lisa Frank, where they started selling stickers and they started selling stationery and all this stuff. Along the way, she either recruited or was propositioned by her now ex-husband, John Green,
James. John Green is a different person.
You're right. It's not John Green.
Blame James.
Blame James.
Blame James.
James Green. You're right. James Green. Who allegedly, apparently, is a real son of a bitch. That guy sounds like a fucking
asshole.
Honestly,
though, I have so many mixed... No, you know what it is? It's his... He's got that... I don't like him, to be clear.
Okay.
I don't like him at all.
I don't like him.
No, he's a shyster.
He is.
But just his, like, mannerisms, the way he's talk...
It is interesting.
Oh, it's just... It's so interesting.
I think it's
the confidence. It's the...
Yeah.
Blind confidence.
I think it's also the neurodivergent thing where we like mimicking people.
Yeah, he's very mimicable.
Yeah. And so his... like his accent and his...
anytime they ask him a question, he goes...
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, is he about to lie or tell the truth? I can't tell.
His little movements and stuff...
Dude.
...are really odd and strange. He also looks like a fucking pinhead. Like he's got no neck. He looks like a little bobblehead.
I know.
Just
I think
weird.
It's so interesting.
But yeah, so she met James Green and they fell in love and got married and had apparently, you know, allegedly, but I mean, also just based on the footage, a real fucking humdinger of a wedding. It's fucking so expensive, I bet.
I just don't understand too, because I'm like, as we were watching, I was like, we could have ran that business. Like, we would have been fine.
I know. But also, I'm like, are we just ignorant and dumb?
No, we could do
Maybe.
It. No, we could definitely do it.
You think?
I don't know. We would never...
Rich people, give us money.
Yeah, give us money so we can figure it out.
Yeah, we'll do cool things. We'll make art accessible and we'll hire small artists and uplift their creations and prioritize creativity
and
the value of human life.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not how you make money.
Yeah, well.
Well, go on.
You know? But yeah, so they... together ran the business and then got pregnant. My favorite fun fact about Lisa Frank is that she named both of her sons after colors.
Oh yes.
In what is the most narcissistic display of ineffectual parenting. She named her sons Hunter Green and Forest Green, which is just so rude.
Aren't they, it's just
come on. Like she did have another artist draw characters for her kids.
Yeah.
So her kids are the leopard and the lion.
Yeah,
I don't remember which is which, but yeah, that's the other real shit about Lisa Frank is that as the company grew pretty quickly, it turned into Lisa running around and approving or disapproving of the creations from other graphic artists and designers. And
that seems like it seems like she didn't make any of the, or James.
It's kind of giving that vibe.
Like James definitely like spearheaded the style, I think. It sounds like.
Did
it sounds like with the airbrushing and stuff. And I mean,
but she also had hired several
artists already.
He was the first full-time artist.
Oh, is that what it was?
But there were several other artists working for Lisa Frank before he started working there.
And he just so happened to get the front and kind of decided the style.
Yes. He was like an airbrush guy, which was like very 90s. So they kind of incorporated that into the early designs and stuff. But he... was the first like full-time or like lead artist or whatever. And then that turned into like CEO and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Because when they got married, Lisa allegedly gifted 49% of her shares to James as like a wedding gift or
as
something.
As soon as I said that, I was like, there's going to be problems there.
He contested that and said that wasn't true, that it wasn't a gift, but like, okay.
Oh, he said it wasn't a gift?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That wasn't no fucking gift. I was the guy who ran the company.
Yes, that's right.
That ain't no fucking gift.
That's
like,
it.
I don't know. Okay. So are you objecting to the verbiage used, or are you saying that she didn't give it to you and that you just owned it outright?
Regardless, she gave it to him.
I don't understand what the objection there is, but it was such a strange.
I love in the lawyer's proceedings being the whole like James Green is Lisa Frank.
I know.
But it does sound like they're towards the, like after she had the kiddos, it sounds like she didn't come to the office very much.
Well, but I kind of wonder to what degree that's also a like, don't come to the office, be home with the kids, I'll take care of it kind of a thing. Because after Lisa had her two children and was like working from home more, conditions at the Lisa Frank factory seemed to get way worse. The way that the employees were treated was substantially worse under James.
Because someone left early that one time too. They were saying, and they put locks on the, or they tried to put locks on the door.
Yeah, there was a woman who had to leave early because she had to go to the bank back when, you know, you couldn't access the bank through any other means than in person. And obviously banks close at 5 o'clock. So she had to leave early, and James found out about it. And the following day asked the factory, like working people, whoever's like the in charge person down there to put padlocks and chains on the doors because he said, allegedly, the artists are trying to escape. If that is not bone chilling, I don't know what is. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of accounts of things like
because you James, know other stuff that you've heard from.
Yeah, there's lots of accounts of James flipping over tables and yelling at people and name calling people. There's also accounts of Lisa doing the same thing, allegedly. Oh, really? Like name calling and yelling at people. Hold on, let me pull up the...
The name calling makes sense. You had a couple other stories too that you told me that weren't included in the documentary.
I'm finding it. Oh, I saved a link in my...
Oh,
notes because I'm so smart. Bless.
While Mickey's doing that, I've just been having some thoughts lately.
Mm-hmm.
And this just came up with a conversation during a friend. And I have a friend. If you are gay and you're not dating anyone, you are still gay. If you are bi and you are in a relationship with someone, whether the same sex or the opposite sex or gender or whatever or they're preferred. Sex.
Yeah.
Then you are still that, if that is what feels true. You are still bi. If you are polyamorous and you are not dating anyone, you are still polyamorous, if that is what feels true and valid and true to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it's just a nice reassurance that, like, you don't need the validation of other people to have a preference or to know what feels right to you.
Yes.
And I just want people to sit with that.
You get to be the authority on your identity.
Yeah.
Regardless of your behavior.
It doesn't matter how you present outwardly. It doesn't matter your actions. It matters what your heart feels and what your brain tells your heart. I kind of lost it there a little bit at the end, but you get the gist.
I respect that. And also thank you for that reminder because I feel like...
It's a good reminder.
Especially bisexual people end up on the receiving end of a lot of erasure because, like, oh, well, you know, you're a bisexual woman and you've never been in a relationship with a woman before. Are you really bi?
Are you sure?
Like, hello? What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
That's truly so rude and also not up to anybody except for you because our identity, believe it or not, is a personal thing.
It's up to
you. We get to decide. Like we're not deciding anything, really. We're just
how you're
speaking about what is.
You're being
true,
yeah.
Yeah, we're sharing about the, like, truths about who we are. Other people don't get to shit on that. Okay, boop, boop, boop. Okay, so there is a blog post. I'll link it in the description. Again, this is all alleged. But there's some really interesting allegations in here. Things, like, let me read this. It says, there was just this air of fear in there, speaking about the factory, said this woman, a one-time graphic, and I'm not going to read their names on here, just, you know, if you want to read it, you can go read it, but
we'll be linking it.
She also remembered the office being cold, both figuratively and literally. It just seemed very clear, the mentality of it. Keep it ice cold, keep people miserable and on edge. It was just insane, totally insane.
I guess nice in the summer, I guess, but that's awful.
But even then, though, what the hell? Okay, so they also said that turnover at the company was just a revolving door. Yeah. In the 4 years that he was employed, the 40-person creative department, he estimates that group, quote, may have changed over at least two or three times. It was just unbelievable.
That is incredible.
He said 1 year, almost a third of the entire staff turned over. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rhonda Rowlett. Was a woman who was basically responsible for the hiring and firing. They called her the enforcer in the docuseries. They said that she was like the person who was, you know, allegedly James and Lisa's right hand and would do all of the hiring and firing. And was so unapologetic.
Oh my God, she's unfazed.
Unfazed.
Dude, that's
completely
like
unwavering.
If someone called me the enforcer, I'd be like, oh my God, what can I do to fit?
I would cry.
Oh my God.
Well, and like, okay, so sure, maybe she had no choice and blah, blah, blah. Because apparently, allegedly, she was also on the receiving end of a lot of abuse from James in particular, but Lisa as well. And there were rumors around the office about, like, why does she take this? Like, she is so being, you know, treated shitty just like the rest of us. And so, like, you know, sure, whatever. If that were the case that she was doing all of this because she had no choice and needed to keep her job to, you know, pay for her family or whatever, her opportunity to air that would have been in this docuseries. And she was like, no, I don't take it back. She was just like so unwavering in her behavior, like her past behavior. There was no like, oh, I wish I didn't have to do it. And it made me cry and it made me feel awful. It was just kind of like, I took responsibility for it. When I fired people, they knew that it was me and that it was, you know, I was just, that was just the way that just it was. It was like,
also, too, girl. The worst part is, like, I know, like, obviously when you're doing that much firing and hiring, but just, like, they would, someone would be like, yeah, you fired me for this, like, most heinous, egregious thing. And she'd be like, I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, yes. What's that saying? The wood doesn't remember, but the...
Yeah, the axe may never remember, but the tree will never forget.
Yeah.
Just
very much that. And also,
but too, also, I don't think that's true. I think she does remember and she's lying.
I think so, too. Allegedly. Also, that scene where James, when they're, the producer is like, hey, so there's some speculation that you and Rhonda were banging in the office. And he's like, who said that? He's like, anyone could say that. Who's
he wanted to know who it was.
Who said that?
He was like, anyone could make that up. Anyone just made that up. They made that up. They're like, it's you a
couple,
made that up.
They're like, it's a couple people. And they're like, who? Who's a couple people?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then they ask Rhonda about it. And she's like, no. The only person that I've ever had an affair with is my own husband.
As he comes
which
in.
Is nonsensical, by the way, because an affair implies that it's like extramarital.
Also, wait, hold up.
Go off.
Yeah, hold on.
Like, I don't know what that means. But yeah, then she has her husband show up behind her. And like, okay, Rhonda. So yeah, another former employee posted a comment on a forum for freelance artists. Quote, every day was so stressful and hearing Lisa's voice downstairs on a speakerphone made my blood run cold. Ugh. I had many instances where she abused me verbally. It was the worst place I'd ever worked. They also said I personally heard Lisa Frank scream at sales managers and threaten their lives if they fucked up a presentation. Yeah. So like this is the thing. There's a whole lot more. We're not necessarily going to, you know, frame for frame recap the docuseries because there's a lot of information in it. But when people talk about Lisa Frank and like, oh, well, you know, I know she wasn't the greatest person, but I just love her stuff. Like, I can't look at it the same anymore. Like,
no.
To me, like, obviously there is a nostalgia in the idea of things being super colorful and neon and like cutesy little characters and stuff, right? Sure. From the 90s. But Lisa Frank specifically, like, you're not going to catch me competing with motherfuckers on eBay or Mercari or whatever the fuck to buy vintage Lisa Frank shit. Cause like, fuck
her.
She sucks. She's truly the fucking worst.
The worst part is too, she could reboot that fucking business so goddamn easily. But she's so inept and greedy, she can't fucking manage it.
Yeah. There was a whole section of the docuseries that focused on the way that Lisa Frank
treated the small businesses.
Allegedly interacted with a small business called Glamour Dolls, which is a makeup brand.
That made my blood boil.
If you're my age, you'll probably remember Glamour Dolls from like the beauty guru era of YouTube, where like Candy Johnson talked about them and everything. The long and short of it is that Glamour Dolls approached Lisa Frank saying, let's do a collab. And Lisa Frank said, yeah.
No brainer. Genius.
We're doing a licensing agreement to the tune of $100,000. Like basically you have to pay out $100,000, $25,000 every quarter for the year that we're together in business. And so, you know, the company, first of all, didn't realize that was a high amount for a licensing agreement, because she was also going to get
like a brand new
like 20% or 15% or something of their overall sales after that.
Yep.
And they didn't realize that was kind of a raw deal on their end.
Yeah.
So they signed it because they were just really excited, thinking like this will be our big break and whatever. And
she
Lisa was allegedly so difficult to work with that she, like, in the process of you know, trying to finish the product for like the vegan leather bag that they had promised everybody on Kickstarter after they raised like $400,000 or something, that she made them change every detail of that bag. And then when there was nothing left to change, she made them start all over again.
She said the licensing deal, but they had never even gotten any product out.
No.
And it almost cost them like $700,000, or did cost them $700,000. They had to, like, the business essentially had to quit.
So after the first year, they had to re-up the licensing agreement because they still hadn't gotten any product finished or sent to the Kickstarter backers. And then she said, okay, well, you know, since we're doing this for a second year, now the quarterly fee is $125,000. So
that was like 500, wasn't it? Some crazy, actually.
Well, it was 500 in total. It was 125 every quarter.
Okay.
So it went from $25,000 to $125 every quarter.
Just, dude.
So they were hustling trying to get products to Kickstarters.
And all the designs they came up with were so good.
Yes. Well, and that's the real shit, is that like one of the co-founders of the company that they interviewed for the docuseries says, allegedly, that one of the ideas that she came up with was an eyeshadow palette that looked like a Trapper Keeper. If you don't know what a Trapper Keeper is, by the way, it's like a little folder thing. It was very popular in the 90s. It was like the binder that you had.
The binder.
And it had like a little flappy over the front. Yeah, and they had Velcro. Like little characters, and like the Lisa Frank ones were like this little like vinyl material where they have like characters satisfying. And stuff. Yeah, there was little pockets and just like, yeah, it was very cool. And she showed one of the mock-ups that they had for this product, and it looked like a little Trapper Keeper. It was so cute. It was so good. Never made it, never got produced, never got sent to Kickstarter backers because the company went bankrupt before they could
actually do it.
It kind of seems like Lisa Frank strung them along in order to get money from them, allegedly, and then just ghosted them. Fucking basically sent some email or document or something alleging that, you know, you guys have never provided me with anything and you're refusing to participate in this and blah, blah, blah. So you violated our contract, therefore goodbye. And then this bitch has the fucking audacity to do a licensing agreement with Morphe years later and basically ripped it off. They use the same character design and everything, producing a Trapper Keeper eyeshadow palette with the same fucking Lisa Frank character on the front and everything. And like alleges that that never happened, that, you know, Glamour Dolls, the company, just made it all up.
I gotta tell you right now, I am a resilient person, but if that was me, like, honestly, like, shout out to them for still being here, because that would
put me under.
Because
it also destroyed their friendship, they said.
Yeah.
That whole experience, regardless of, you know, the allegations that they have toward Lisa Frank, they do say pretty clearly that the whole experience was so taxing that, like,
because they're getting mad at each other and, like,
taxed their relationship with their families and especially with each other, that they're no longer in contact. I don't think, like, they're not even friends anymore. Truly, which is so sad. And like, again, this is kind of the thing, like, it all just goes back to the tale of like white incompetence, like white mediocrity. I am an unapologetic fan of pop music just generally, but there are certain pop artists that I really do not like.
Taylor Swift.
Because it really just, I know that some of y'all are Taylor Swift fans, and that's fine. I'm not saying that Taylor Swift is the same as Lisa Frank. Get out of my comment section. We can just dislike things, and that's fine. If you think that I'm a bad person because I don't like an artist, then like maybe that's part of that problem.
Go watch the Chronically Online video.
But the, well, that's not up at the time that this goes up.
This Saturday?
This goes up on Thursdays.
No, this goes up on Thursday. Doesn't that video go up on Saturday?
I don't know. But regardless, this is up on a Thursday, which will be several days before a Saturday, even if it does go up this week.
Take your rating and come back.
Regardless, the point that I'm making is that we as a culture, as a country, as a collective, tend to do this, where we uplift white mediocrity because it's easy to digest and because it's, you know, like comforting, rather than being, you know, open and explorative about the actual transcendent art of people of color and of marginalized people, you know, and like really giving a platform to these people who are speaking about their experiences that are challenging for us to like hear about and to really bring on board, but are so transformative and amazing and actually have, you know, like a really incredible story to tell. And it's just sad to see that it's like, again, this woman who, like, sure, you know, she was an artist and that's fine. I'm not trying to take that away from her. But the reality is that, like, in my opinion, she just got dumb lucky.
She did get dumb lucky.
The 90s happened to be this moment in time where color was huge, right? Like neons, bright colors, like girly, feminine things. All of that was like really having a moment. Stickers were having a moment. And because kids were still, you know, like going to school in person, first of all.
Yeah.
And also wanting to like express themselves through these like paper products, that stationery is something that you could sell, that like all of these things just sort of coalesced and created this perfect like little nexus of opportunity for somebody like her to succeed by exploiting the art of the other artists that she hired, and the labor. And then wouldn't you look at that, when her business had to be flexible and move forward with the times and adapt, they didn't do it. And so now the bulk of her business is licensing agreements where she puts her characters on Crocs and fucking
phone cases.
And just makes a fucking buck.
And calls it a day.
And also, too, the worst part is, too, people just eat that shit up. I know.
It makes me sad. Well, to be fair, a lot of them don't know.
I honestly, too, like, I know it's a problematic take or whatever, too. But, like, it's not really. But, like, if James hadn't been there, honestly, as a fucking bulldog to just, like, power that company.
Well, yeah, to, like, beat people into submission.
Yeah, and, like, power that company through. Like, it would be interesting to see.
They probably would have failed sooner.
I think they would have. Definitely. I don't think Lisa Frank has a fucking...
No. Well, and again, if your company has to rely on brute force and abuse in order to be, like, a productive and successful company, y'all are fucking bad people.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a good business owner, you're not a good artist, and you're certainly not deserving of the success that you have.
Speaking of the artist, it's so sad that so much of that art, too, like, because someone was like, I'd love to use this for a portfolio, and they're like, that's not your fucking art.
Yeah.
Like, so all that art, that they, like, even if it is for, like, the artists themselves, like, that's still, like, their creation, like, their little babies.
And they'll never be able to have that or see that. Yeah, or, like, they may never see it again, honestly. It's so depressing.
That's, like, breaks my heart.
Yeah, there's a really interesting thing that's happened too, because I mean, we talked about it at the beginning. Lisa Frank, the factory, is here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I guess back in the day they used to do factory tours.
I want to see what it looks like inside now.
I know. I used to know someone who grew up here and said that, like, they would do field trips and stuff to the factory and whatever. But now, first of all, Lisa Frank is a very litigious person. She's definitely one to call the cops and to sue people. So if you live in Tucson, that was a good pop. If you live in Tucson or you're ever here visiting or whatever, do not go to that factory. Don't do that either.
Need that.
But don't go to that factory and try to jump the fence. Don't try to, like, get anywhere near there. There's a fence around it, and, like, you can drive on the street, obviously.
Quite frankly, the fence isn't to keep us out either. It's probably to keep everyone in back then.
That's not true. But don't do anything that could put you in a dangerous situation, because she will absolutely call the cops on you and try to get you in trouble for trespassing and also, you know, destruction of property and, like, whatever the fuck. So.
You know what I think is funniest about it, too, is she's a fucking coward. Couldn't even show up on her own docuseries to, like, even if she was, like, dead fucking wrong, but was on there at least, like, explaining her truth or her side of the story.
Yeah, I mean, because James kind of did that.
Yeah, so, like, I would just love
to have more interesting product. That's
sure. It would have given, I can't name this reference because we're not allowed to talk about it, but I think it would have been a really good back and forth to have the producers asking James a question and then asking the same question to Lisa.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope her company rots in piss.
Well, from my understanding, too, a lot of the allegations from people who worked for her formerly speak about how vain and preoccupied she is with her looks. She was really preoccupied with people seeing her as skinny, but also with being seen as, like, young and beautiful. She cared a lot that people approved of the way that she looked. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like the older that she gets to, the more likely it is that she'll, like, not appear for publicity or you know, articles or
which
whatever.
Is a shame, because she should be ashamed to show herself, her face, for how she's treated people.
Yeah,
but we're just
for
ashamed
that.
For the wrong reasons.
But yeah, don't go anywhere near that factory and do anything that could get you in trouble. But that said, there are some people who have, like, gotten close enough to it, apparently, to have footage of the inside, and it's spooky, dude.
I
want to
see it so bad. Also, if she, this again, don't let me run a business, but seriously, if she just opened that bitch up for Halloween,
yes,
$25, $30, $40 a ticket, I bet that bitch would be packed. I bet people would fly here.
But also,
to go to that shit.
If she literally just refurbished, like, the lobby and, like, that's it, and allowed people to take tours and stuff, because also
those stands are something else, man.
Apparently all of the original artwork, like every single print that Lisa Frank Incorporated has ever produced, is inside that building.
No fucking way.
Inside of a, like, fireproof, earthquake proof fucking, like, bolted,
like,
to the nines safe. She has
that
a vault.
Incredible.
She has a vault with all of the originals where you're not allowed to touch anything. It's like a fucking Library of Congress.
Okay, that's incredible. Honestly, she should really look into running for president. She's about at the right age now, too.
Stop.
And has the right practices and standards, honestly.
Don't make jokes like that, because you'll actually curse us.
I'll pull Obama and make a joke one time about someone.
Yeah, exactly.
And then run our country into the ground.
I can't remember what organization put up the
the thing, but she approved it and let them inside and whatever. But this was before the factory was repainted. If you do watch the docuseries, by the way,
yes, please
know.
Funny.
I don't know if it was the docuseries company,
no,
like Amazon, like, or if it was Lisa Frank.
I bet it was her.
She didn't want it to look old and dilapidated.
Yes, because she knew they would be coming in to get B-roll.
But they definitely repainted that bitch.
And you can see it slapped on there.
Yeah.
Slapped
if
on
you,
the scars.
If you, there's a moment where they show part of the fence, because the fence all around the factory, like the original fence, not the chain link one that they have now, but the original like wrought iron fence has these little music notes and hearts and whatever on top of it. And you can see if you pause it just the right moment, one of the music notes is painted on the front and the back, but not the sides. Oh, it's like God. All sloppily.
I just love, I'm picturing Lisa Frank going out there in the middle of the night and like a little, like a old 90s, 80s cartoon, just like with the paintbrush, like the like old Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Painting it just like as just, fast as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. The paint used to be really like, it was more pastel than it was vibrant, that's for sure. There's one of the gumball machine inside the Lisa Frank headquarters, and I want that gumball machine so bad.
Ooh.
My end of life mission is to have that fucking gumball machine. If you didn't know, fun fact, the two yellow Labradors in Lisa Frank like artwork, those are based on her real dogs. She loved those dogs so much, they were apparently at her wedding.
They were at her wedding. Honestly, their wedding looked kind of lit. I won't even lie.
I know. I'm a little jealous because...
To have that much money and have a wedding?
Yes.
Like, that's how a wedding should be.
Yeah.
Oh, James did not look like he was having a good time during that wedding.
No. Okay,
so... He didn't even get down on Juanita and propose.
Yeah, he said, I'm not that kind of guy. Whatever. That's not a flex to be an asshole.
Wait,
fun
really?
Fact about me, I had a hyperfixation with polar bears when I was a child.
What age? Really?
Oh, like...
Polar bears?
Pre-middle school, for sure.
Do you want to talk about that? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I just liked them. I have a TikTok also. Whoa. Oh, here we go. Ooh, spooky. Hold on. Again, I want to be clear. We don't condone or encourage what these people are doing because this is super illegal.
You just watch it. I'll watch it later when I do that footage.
Ooh, you got to watch this right now. It's spooky, dude.
Is it actually that spooky?
Just because there's like dirt and dust on everything. It reminds me of those like abandoned mall videos. Those also give me the creeps.
How did they get inside?
I don't know. I truly do not know.
Okay, lots of B-roll. Okay, you're really... Okay. Okay, waiting for the horse. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Damn, they really went inside.
Yeah. Don't do that. She will for sure call the cops on you.
Looks like some, they got little blankets. I wonder if homeless people live in there.
No. Because Lisa still owns that property.
Also, like, kids, don't fucking record yourselves committing a crime.
Don't put your face on
don't
things.
Don't put your face
Jesus,
on things.
I know.
Good God.
It's just, like,
the first
such
one
a
too.
Choice.
That, yeah, just if you're going to commit crimes, just
don't.
Do them to yourself.
I know.
Just commit them to yourself, by yourself.
But yeah, if you're an influencer, especially, and Lisa Frank wants to partner with you, say no. Because,
yeah,
oh, that's the
right.
other thing we
like
didn't talk about, is that,
oh, that
there
yes.
was a prominent influencer. She was a black woman who...
Cloudland.
Yes, that wasn't her,
I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry.
Her username, but her house was, or her apartment was called Cloudland. And she was really popular for a rainbow aesthetic,
her
a girly
so, her
aesthetic.
Apartment was so cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. And she talked a lot about how it was a personal expression that was like really freeing and like, you know, empowering in regards to like identity development and all that kind of stuff. And Lisa Frank liked one of her things.
Oh, yeah. And they were having DMs and stuff back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
They reposted her stuff on the Lisa Frank socials, and then all of a sudden,
weird.
Lisa Frank stopped
just ghosted
engaging,
her.
And then, wouldn't you know it, Lisa Frank announces a collab with Hotels.com, where you can go live out your Lisa Frank dreams in a hotel room that looked strikingly similar to Cloudland. That person got evicted from their apartment, and they said they were having a really, really hard time for a while, just because of the way the whole thing played out.
It's so fucked. It's so it makes me so, and that's why, like, I don't have, like,
yeah.
Lisa Frank
and Hotels.com maintain that there was no plagiarism. They were not even inspired by that influencer.
Literally, how could you? Impossible not to.
I know.
But also, again, too, like, the big guy wins again because money.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it's clear. Lisa Frank has kind of a track record. Like when you lay it all out, thing after thing after thing, it's feeling a little suspicious, Lisa.
I don't think it's suspicious. It's pretty loud.
Well,
for allegedly.
For the purpose of legal protection, it's feeling suspicious.
It's feeling suspicious.
But yeah, so that's the rough story. Lisa Frank is kind of a strange hyperfixation of mine.
It's just very interesting.
Yeah, I knew somebody for a while that was also like very interested in it. And so we learned a lot about like the lore and the factory and, you know, the artwork and stuff. Did you know, by the way, some of the most expensive items that you can buy secondhand now are the Zoomer and Zorbit binders.
Who's Zoomer and Zorbit?
They're aliens. They were alien characters in this little car.
They didn't have a very long run or something? Or really
I don't think they had a very long run. And there's also just not a lot of them left. So also, yeah, fun fact. If you have old Lisa Frank stuff
that
is
shit.
In somewhat good quality, you can probably make good money off of that if you don't want it. Because
it's like cards, you would be surprised.
Yes, people will pay big money for that stuff. And especially if you, I don't know who is listening to this that would have these things, but you never know. If you have anything that was inside of the Lisa Frank Clubhouse store. The first one that ever opened was here in Tucson, but I think they did open other ones in other cities.
Yeah.
But like promotional material, merchandise. There was at one point just in a like weird like vintage toy store thing. I was like there when a person found a hanger. I'll show a picture of it. I'll send you a picture of it.
I think I know.
That was literally just like a little piece of cardboard hanger thing that they would use inside of the Lisa Frank Clubhouse.
Yes.
Stores clothes. To hold up clothes and things like that. Those things I've seen them sell for like $200.
A clothes hanger.
Yeah. Well, because people are collectors and they That's really want wild. Those things. So yeah, I don't even want to know how much that gumball statue would be worth. And I refuse to pay Lisa herself for it.
Never.
But if I ever find one of those things, I really want one. I want one real bad.
We've driven by her house.
We have driven by her house. Yes, I do know where her house is. We didn't do anything.
We literally just drove by.
We happened to be driving by, and I was like, oh, fun fact.
Crazy.
I won't tell you guys where that is either because I don't want to dox Lisa as much as she sucks.
I wonder what the inside of her house looks like.
Probably stupid.
I like to think there's spider webs. I hope there's cobwebs.
Also, a fun alleged internet rumor. The plot of land where Lisa's like real house is, apparently. The plot next door was, you know, belonged to her neighbors, and Lisa really wanted that plot of land to make her house bigger and offered to buy it from her neighbors, and her neighbors said no, and mysteriously her neighbor's house burnt down the next year, I think, and then Lisa got to build her extra big house. All alleged, all rumor. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's just crazy to me. They had such a good business. All they had to do was not fuck it up. Just not fuck it up.
Just don't be
Basically,
assholes.
Just don't be fucking dicks.
Don't be assholes.
They'd probably be a household name still.
Yes. Yes, especially because 90s nostalgia, 2000s nostalgia is like so big right now. If they just made one or two good decisions and ethical decisions, they could probably actually have like a resurgence. But instead, they're just making TikToks where they're wearing the character outfits, running around outside the factory being weird.
Anything but...
The Lisa Frank TikTok account, by the way, horror show. Super weird.
I don't want to see those. Yeah,
I don't like it. I don't like people in character costumes anyways.
That's but a good button for you.
When they're just wearing that character costume with like the head and then they have on regular shoes.
You
for
like
some
that
reason,
more?
No. It makes it worse. It makes it weird.
Really?
Just because I feel like it breaks the immersion of it that much more. And now it looks like you're wearing somebody's skin suit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't like it. Okay. It looks like you're wearing looks like you're wearing a bearskin rug. For like funsies, okay. And that makes it worse. I know that it's a fake one. It's just a fake character, but it looks like an act of animal cruelty, I think, is why it bothers me so much.
Okay. Okay.
Where I'm like, ooh.
I can see that.
Funny.
Okay. I can really see that.
Doing that. I know it's fake, but I still hate it. It makes me very, it's just like squeaky. I hate mascots and like, I don't like when I can't
Halloween
see your
masks.
Eyes. Yeah. I don't like when I can't see your eyes because I don't trust you. Makes me uncomfortable.
That's fair.
Okay, I think that's probably enough about Lisa Frank and the horrors within.
Let us know what you guys have. If you guys have any more, drop that shit, please.
Please, let us know. There's more. Shit. We didn't cover all of it, but there's a surprising amount of just terrible, awful about Lisa Frank on the internet. Allegedly.
Can you tell me that last one little story, that last story that you said you found out about the Coke?
Coke.
Yeah, the
cocaine. Yeah. So
allegedly.
allegedly. Part of the docuseries talks about James Green's alleged coke use.
He said he never did coke at the office.
Well, yeah.
He said, I've never done coke.
We're talking about like skiing coke, by the way. Snowflake coke, by the way. Not Coca-Cola. So allegedly, James.
Bumping that.
Yeah. was doing that at the office. And apparently Rhonda would partake.
Rhonda partook in this blog post
That I'll link in the description.
Allegedly.
If I forget, by the way, just tell me. I forget things all the time. So allegedly, this assistant said that they would be responsible for retrieving said
items.
And would be handed a blank, like unmarked brown paper bag from Rhonda, sent to the fucking gas station, and then come back. They would like exchange, something else would get put in the brown paper bag, and then they would come back and give it to Rhonda, and then James and Rhonda would fuck off to like downstairs, like the factory area or something for a while.
And come back.
And come back lit the fuck up, allegedly. There was one instance where their observation, their allegation was that Rhonda was so intoxicated or like so inebriated that she couldn't even stand up straight. She was like falling over, and that they would be just like sweaty. This is all alleged. They would be like sweaty and paranoid and all just like fucking zooming around the office being fucking weird, like yelling at people, like super angry and like very irritable and like easily fucking, yeah, very easily had their buttons pushed.
Do you think they ever fired anyone while they were under the influence?
Yes.
I wonder if that's when James flipped the table.
I would not be surprised by that whatsoever.
He said if I flipped the table, they probably deserved it.
He did say that. That's not even alleged. He literally said in the docuseries, they asked him, did you ever flip a table? They told him what somebody had alleged. And he was like, oh, probably. I hope I did. Because there was probably some bullshit on it. Not a good person. Not a good person. Oh, also, allegedly, after the whole kerfuffle, because Lisa and James Green got a very contentious divorce in which there was a lot of fighting over the shares and the whole thing. And who owns the company? Lisa and James.
Oh, Lisa and James. I thought you said Rhonda. And I'm like, Rhonda was not.
No, Lisa and James. Because Lisa accused James of having an affair with Rhonda, which she, you know, claims that they didn't. James claims that they didn't. But after Lisa and James got a very contentious divorce in which they fought and fought and fought and fought over the company, Lisa did ultimately maintain control of the company.
Which is why it's in shambles now.
James got bupkis.
James didn't get shit.
But, well, I'm sure he got plenty of money.
Yeah, let's be clear about that.
But after that, allegedly, James and Rhonda started a Christian nonprofit together.
Like what?
Apparently, James found God in the whole divorce.
Wasn't he Jewish before or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Jewish, but he said after the divorce, he found Christ. And him and Rhonda ran off and started a nonprofit. Totally not fucking, though. Totally above board. Definitely they weren't having an affair. They were just friends.
Speaking of
starting a Christian nonprofit.
My hands still smell like tandoori chicken, and honestly, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. We had Indian food last night.
I'm so in love.
Because it's Aaron's new hyperfixation. Honestly, I agree. It's really good.
It's so good.
We've struggled to find good Indian food here in Tucson just because we don't really know what we're looking for.
This might not even be good, but I love it.
It's really good to
it's
us.
It's so good.
We found this place that we really like the food, and we're just like slowly working our way through the menu now. We ordered something called Rocket Naan.
Oh my God. Three cheese and cayenne pepper.
And well, I think there was meat in it too, wasn't there? It was just cheese.
Cheese and cayenne pepper.
Or maybe there was a different one that had meat stuffed in it. But yeah, it was cheese and cayenne pepper.
Time.
And it was spicy and delicious. It was really good.
It was so good.
I want to try some soup.
Yes, we should.
I saw it on the appetizer menu and I was like,
next time we're on it. It's soup season. It's always soup season. Everything is soup.
Everything is soup.
And
okay.
With that,
we're going to go. We love you all so much and we hope that you're having a better day than we are.
Please take care.
It will be fine.
Thank you for
yourselves.
Thank you everyone for bearing with me during
fine.
My
it's
devolvement.
Just,
it will get better.
It's a bummer.
It will be fine. Everything will be
fine. Nobody's dying.
Everything is fine. Is there an everything is fine up here?
No, but I do have a print over there that hasn't been hung up yet.
Yeah.
That says the vibes are in fucking shambles. And so I feel like that's appropriate.
We will fix them. They will be fine. Thank you, everyone who has reached out and given me kind words. Thank you. You're the best.
We appreciate you guys.
Yes.
All right. We love you very much. And we'll see you for the next one. Bye.